Amen. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, worship team. Well, we are 13 hours and 5 minutes away from ringing in the new year. And it's time when we think of the new year to think about goals and New Year's resolutions. How many have your New Year's resolutions already figured out? All right, okay, so we're not a super big planning group of people here, okay? Well, New Year's resolutions are a good idea, and it really doesn't matter whether you do them on New Year's or you do them at other stages during the year, but it's a good idea to stop and pause and think, how am I doing in life? What do I need to be doing better? What areas do I need to grow in? And then say, this is my target. This is what I'll work on by God's grace. Now, when we set New Year's resolutions, we all know the classics that are in there. We all say January 1st. Well, no, January 2nd, because it's a holiday. Starting January 2nd, I will be at the gym every day, and I will have a salad for lunch every day. And we all know that lasts for about a week and a half, okay? The gyms are empty in December, and they're packed in January. So we can make goals, and sometimes we fail at them, or sometimes we succeed, but the things that we succeed in are things that really don't matter when the grand scheme of eternity is considered. We're busy, we multitask, and the reality is the goals we have reveal what has our attention. So what has our attention? Is there a way that we can live smarter? Absolutely. And it's in God's word. And it carries on in Psalm 86, which we read earlier today. And Lord willing, when you walk out of here, you'll have Psalm 86:11 memorized. That's going to be our interactive thing today. That's because we want the pattern of God's word going through our mind, setting a track for us in how we go. Psalm 86, verse 11 says this, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." Psalm 86 is one of five psalms in the scripture that are explicitly said to be a prayer. This is a prayer of David. David wrote this psalm. He is calling out to God. The passage that we read earlier, verses 5 to 10, we see that David is saying, okay, God, I've got it. You are good and you are great. And that's the bedrock that we stand on. God is good and he is great. Satan would love for us to not believe that or to doubt God's goodness or his greatness, but that's the foundation we build on. And David in this says, God is good and he is great. Then he goes on in verse 11 and he says this, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." Now, one of the big mistakes we make in church world is we like to think of the Psalms as kind of, you know, nice devotional material. You know, they look good in a frilly frame and but the Psalms are robust. They are the intersection of theology and everyday life. The Psalms tell us how to get God involved in everything that we do, or how we can involve God in everything we do is a better way to put it. "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." The Psalms are Hebrew poetry, and they usually employ a thing called parallelism. And what you'll see is you'll see phrases written that either say the same thing or they're opposites. In this case, you've got two parallelisms, and they're saying essentially the same thing, so it makes it very simpler. "Teach me your way, O Lord," corresponds with "give me an undivided heart." "And I will walk in your truth" corresponds with "that I may fear your name." The pattern that we see in Psalm 86 is it starts off with saying, God, I'm asking something from you, and then here's what I'm going to do about it. Here's my response. It's interactive with God. God, would you show me this? And then I'll walk in your way. God, reveal this to me so that I can do this. It's a pattern you'll see throughout the Psalms. And God knows we're slow learners, so he has to say things twice to us. But that's essentially what he's doing in this verse. So let's look at this. Let's pick this apart. And I'm going to let you cheat in the beginning because you're going to have the words up on the screen, okay? So don't pretend that you've got it figured out, all right? I know that you're cheating. It starts like this. The first line says, "Teach me your way, O Lord." Now let me hear you.
Teach
I can't hear you. All right, very good. Teach me your way, O Lord. It's a cry where we say, God, I need your help. What we recognize right off the bat is I need to be taught God's way. It's not something that I invent. It's not something I come up with by myself. I need him to show it to me. God, I need to be taught your way. We need to be taught God's way because his ways are greater than our ways. In Isaiah chapter 55, it says, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We live in a culture which the mantra is, follow your heart. How many kiddie shows is that part of the chorus in? Well, following your heart is, let me put this nicely, is probably the least intelligent thing you can do. How about for 2018, we say, Lord, I'm done following my heart. Lord, I want to walk in your ways. Lord, teach me your way. Following your heart will only get you in trouble. We need to be taught God's way. It's where we're willing to step back and say, Lord, I can't figure out life on my own. Would you teach me? We learn God's ways because he has given us his word, the Bible. God has revealed to us what we need to know about him in here. And God wants all of his followers to pick it up and read it. If you have a bulletin, I want you to open that up and you'll see on the inside of the front page, upcoming events and activities. There's a little blurb which says, read your Bible. And what we give you on there is we give you a link which has all kinds of different Bible reading plans. When we challenge you to read your Bible, it's not something we want to be a legalistic thing. It's like, okay, I'm going to just knuckle down and I'm going to do it in a year. Or I'm going to do it in 2 years. Or I'm going to do it in 6 months. Whatever it might be. But the important thing is, God has revealed himself to us in his word. He wants us to pick it up and get to know him. God is amazing. But you won't know it if you don't pick up his book. So read God's word. But I don't want this to be a legalistic requirement that you feel like, oh man, I've got to read it in a year. Guess what? You're going to miss a few days. You're going to skip days. You'll be sick. You'll be traveling. All that comes up. Well, don't worry about it. Just pick up, and it's no big deal if it takes you a year and a half to read it instead of a year. There's all kinds of plans that you'll see in this link. You can read through the Bible in a year, 2 years, whatever. The important thing is have a plan to read God's word. Now, the reason we have to have a plan to read God's word is because we have an enemy who would love for us to avoid this book. It's a lot easier to turn a television on than it is to open God's word. If we don't have a plan to read God's word, it ain't gonna happen. And that's sad because we miss out. God wants us to read his word so that we can get to know him. And we don't just do it alone. I think it's a very important thing to start your day off reading God's word, but we read it together with others. A great avenue to do that is our life group ministry. Or maybe if you're younger, we've got a student ministry that does it. We have Sunday school classes and run kids if you're younger. But read God's words on your own and then read together with one another. Because what's really cool is when you talk with other Christians, you're reading God's words, and they see things that you go, man, I read that passage, and I didn't notice it. That's really cool. That's encouraging. And this is how God teaches us his way. So we start off, and we say this. Teach me. Go ahead, let's hear it.
Teach me your way, O
Lord. Very good. Teach me your way, O Lord. God's way is more than just knowledge about him. It's knowing him. God didn't want us to just have a bunch of facts up here where we say, I know these theological truths and that's it, and you know, your head is stuffed with it and you feel pretty big about it. God wants us to know about him so we can know him, so that we can trust him. Because if we don't let scripture speak to us, we'll let our feelings, our heart, with all of our doubts, our insecurities, and our fears overwhelm us. We need God's word to show us God's way. But you know, we don't just learn God's way so we can say, hey, I know God's way. There's a response in it. And the response is, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. And I will walk in your truth. Let's hear you guys do it.
I will walk in your truth.
That was pretty weak. Do it again.
I will walk in your truth.
Very good. It's because I love you and I want you to get this verse down because this is a great foundation to launch into 2018 on. That I may walk in your truth. God wants us to respond to him and to act on it, to be intentional. It's been said by others that reading the Bible without intending to obey it falls between ridiculous and blasphemous. And last I checked, the realm between ridiculous and blasphemous is a bad place to be in. So when we read God's word, it's like, Lord, what are you telling me so that I can obey you? A lot of times we may not like what God says in his word. A lot of times there may be things in scripture which kind of cut deep. But we've got to understand the problem is with us, not with God. God loves us. He wants us to know him. And then he wants us to act on his word. Some translations use the word God's faithfulness for God's truth. And the fact is, when we walk in God's truth, we have stability in life. You're not getting whipped back and forth by the whims of culture. You've got real stability because it's God's faithfulness. Scripture also refers to the belt of truth that Christians are supposed to put on. The belt of truth kind of holds all the armor together, if you think about that. If there's sections of God's word that aren't true, well, then the whole thing is kind of like a giant Jenga game. It just falls apart. If there's that one piece you can pull out, they say, aha, it's not true. But praise God, his word is all true. He is totally trustworthy. We can count on him for anything. See, when we're walking in his truth, the ways that he has taught us how to live through his word, when we walk in his truth, we have integrity and stability. And when you're living life this way, you will be a great employee. You will be a great boss. You will be a great parent. You will be a great student. I will walk in your truth. When God shows me his way, I'll act on it. If we saw how great God is, and David earlier in this passage gets that point, he says, God is good, God is great. Why would I not want to walk in his way? You know, the way of God is really the will of God. A lot of times, as Christians, we get all knotted up about I want to know God's will. And usually the context we're talking about is, I want to know, should I marry this person or not? Should I take this job? Should I move to this house? Well, that's specific guidance. The will of God is very easy. And the trouble is, so often we're too busy trying to find God's will that we miss out on God. If we chase after God, we'll stumble into doing his will. So what is God's will? Let me just hear from some people. What's God's will? What's God's will for your life? Let's hear it. Don't make me come down with a mic, all right? What's that?
To glorify him.
Very good. Glorify him. Joshua, this Bible scholar up here, I love it.
Love each other,
yes? What else? There are sections in Scripture that explicitly says this is the will of God for you. I heard something over here. Love God, serve others, yes?
Pray without ceasing.
Love your neighbor. To what?
To praise God.
To praise God, good.
Disciples.
What's that?
Make disciples, yep.
Rejoice always.
Love other people, yep.
Love God and love people. We know that's God's will. Very good, Joshua, thank you. God tells us to be thankful in everything. God wants his people to be sexually pure. He wants us to live holy lives. These are all things that God says, this is explicitly my will. So I want to help you live in God's will for just a few minutes. I told you this would be interactive. I want you to turn around with people. One of the things we talked about, Scripture is very explicit about this. It is God's will that we be thankful. So I want you to turn around. I'm going to give you a couple minutes, chat with the people around you, tell them at least one thing you're thankful for. Go. All right, everyone, that was good. Heard a lot of laughter. I hope you are encouraged. We have so much to be thankful for. But remember, we're talking about this section right here. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. When you're walking in the truth, you will naturally do God's will. You will stumble into doing these things. The problem is we love to be list-based. Okay, I need to be holier. I need to be more thankful. And we have this list. But the fact is, if you're walking in the truth, if you're saying, God, teach me and then I'll obey you, you will stumble into doing his will. And that's a great way to do God's will. And when we do God's will in the general things, it's amazing how when we need to make decisions that things just fall into place for us and we don't have to get all stressed about finding God's will. You know, you look at these first two lines here, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You see, the way of God will always lead you to Jesus. The way of God will always lead you to Jesus. The way of God will always intersect with the gospel. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Walking in God's way will always lead you to the gospel. It will always point you towards Jesus. And then David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, essentially repeats what he said in the first two lines. He knows we're slow learners, so we need to look at it from a slightly different angle here. I love this phrase here. Give me an undivided heart. Give me an undivided heart. Let me hear that. That's good. You guys are doing great. Give me an undivided heart. Now, we live in an era of multitasking, but God doesn't want us multitasking with him. We think we can do all kinds of things. You know, when computers came on the scene not too long ago in the scheme of history, the buzz was, man, this is great. We're going to get computers to do all the work, and think of all the leisure time we'll have. Well, we all know that ain't true. We're Northern Virginians. This is known as the land of the self-important. And God doesn't take kindly to that. We think we can chase after 18 zillion things. But the trouble is, when we chase after 18 zillion things, we don't do any of them well. We might be efficient, but we're not effective. Give me an undivided heart. Lord, would you work in me so that you are first and foremost, and everything I do flows out of that. Now, the way you could say this, give me an undivided heart, is that verse many of you know, seek first his kingdom and all these things shall be added unto you. It's essentially saying the same thing. Give me an undivided heart. Lord, help me to be focused on you, to stick with you. Now, the great thing about all of these, where you say, Lord, would you do this for me? There's no age limit. There's nothing in the Hebrew where it says, must wait until you finish high school before you get serious about this. When I hear Joshua giving answers like this earlier, this is fantastic. I pray that if you're here and you're in preschool and you're kindergarten, you choose to say, God, I'm going to follow you. Your understanding of it will grow. If you're in high school, don't wait till you're in college. If you're in college, don't wait till you're done. Say, Lord, I'll serve you. Lord, teach me your ways so that I understand what it means to walk in your truth right where I am. Might be in a job. It might be in college. It might be in a preschool. But this is valid for everywhere. Give me an undivided heart. When we have an undivided heart, we have stability. Scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But if our main focus is, Lord, as I go into 2018, teach me your way so I can walk in your truth. Wherever it is that I'm actually walking, I want to walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. What does it mean to fear God's name? Fearing God's name means that we have a God awareness in all that we do. We have an awareness that God is with me. He's watching me. And depending on what I'm doing, that's a wonderful thing or it's a frightening thing. If I'm in the middle of sinning, it's not a very comforting thought. But I'm saying, Lord, I want to follow you. It's a very comforting thing to know that he is right there with me. We live with a God awareness. When we live life with a God awareness, we'll stumble into doing his will. We'll have stable lives. God wants us to live with him wholeheartedly. That I may fear your name. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Let's hear that last line, everyone. Very good. That I may fear your name. This is a great way to start off the year by saying, Lord, before I do all my other resolutions, before I have all these other goals in my life, I want to build on a solid foundation. And that solid foundation is, teach me your way, O Lord, that I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. All right. You all ready for the final exam? Okay. I'm going to do it with the words up here first. Let's hear it all together. Teach me your way, O Lord. I may fear your name. Very good. How do you feel about it? Good? Thumbs up? You got it? Okay, we'll do it one more time with the words. You ready? Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Psalm 86:11. Okay. Mr. Producer, Didi, would you turn the lights off, please? Kill the slide. Okay, let's hear it. You ready?
Teach me your way, O Lord,
and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Not too bad. Let's do it one more time. Get your confidence built up here, okay? Because this is a great verse to memorize, all right?
Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, and I will fear your name. Psalm 86:11.
Great work, guys. I can't think of a better foundation to build your life on as you look into a new year. It's worth taking stock of where you've been, how you're doing, what do you need to grow in. But all of that is built on the foundation of, Lord, teach me your way. I need you to show me what to do. And I will walk in your truth. That is my response. God, you will teach me because you're good and you're great. I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, an uncluttered heart. Declutter my heart, Lord, so that I follow you first and foremost. And Lord, when you give me an undivided heart, let me live my life in such a way that I will fear your name. I will be aware of you wherever I am, whether it's on the job, in the home, in a classroom, hanging out with my friends. God, would you give me that awareness of you? Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Psalm 86:11. It's a great building block for the new year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be a people who love to know you through your word. Lord, I pray that our heart cry to you would be, teach us your way, Lord, not so that we can fill our head with head knowledge, but so that we can know you better and then walk in your truth. Live a stable life based on you. Lord, thank you that your way will always lead us to your Son, Jesus. And I pray that we would be a people who go back to him over and over and over throughout the course of the year. Lord, declutter our hearts. Give us an undivided heart so that we can fear your name. Live in awareness of you in all that we think, say, or do. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.